Angela was booked into her county jail in Tennessee as a fugitive from justice from North Dakota.
And I've never been to North Dakota. I don't know anyone from North Dakota.
Hey, I'm Eric Etheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We are back again for another episode of Prairie Beat.
A closer look at North Dakota news from the newsroom of Prairie Public. Now, Danielle, a story that started here in North Dakota but has really gotten some legs on it and traveled all over the world in the last week. Wow, is the story of Angela Lips. The short version is this. She's a grandma from Tennessee who was misidentified as a suspect in a bank fraud case in Fargo. Mm-hmm. And she spent several months in jail. Mm-hmm. She lost her home, mm-hmm. her car, and even her dog before eventually being let go. Really dramatic reporting from our colleague over at WDAY TV News, Matt Henson. Well, he reported that she was arrested at gunpoint by U.S. Marshals while babysitting her grandkids.
Yeah, you know, it really is quite the sensational story. Last week, Fargo Police Chief Dave Zabolski announced his retirement from the police department. He's going to be leaving at the end of this month. And at that news conference where he made that announcement, Matt Henson asked Zabolski why nobody at the police department had spoken to Angela Lips for the 5 months she spent in jail. And the chief at that moment declined to answer that question. But that was the first time I myself had heard about Angela Lips, and I kind of had a feeling that it wouldn't be the last time.
Yeah, no kidding. I think it really took off. Story has these legs going all over the world because the main headlining narrative of the story was that she was identified by AI facial recognition. And in a day and age where people are using AI more and more, well, that aspect may have a lot to do with people skeptical about its use and its efficacy, especially in law enforcement. People are undoubtedly asking and questioning, could this happen to me?
All fair to consider, absolutely. I was able to sit down with Chief Zabolski this week to discuss all of this. But before we get to that, it's important to know the nuts and bolts of the initial reporting, because that specifically was the chief's main thing that he wanted to address. So as we already stated, Matt Henson produced this report for WDAY TV News. He wrote that last summer, Fargo police used AI facial recognition to identify Angela Lips as a suspect in a bank fraud case. They had surveillance video of a woman using a fake military ID to withdraw tens of thousands of dollars from a bank here, and this program identified Lips.
According to the court documents, the Fargo detective working this case then looked at Angela's social media accounts and Tennessee driver's license photo. The detective wrote in his charging document, Angela Lips does appear to be the suspect based on facial features, body type, and hairstyle and color.
She was arrested July 14th, and since she was considered a fugitive, she was held without bail. The report goes on to say officers did not bring Lips to North Dakota until October 30th, and she had her first court appearance the next day. Her appointed public defender is an attorney named Jay Greenwood, and Henson reported he immediately wanted her bank records.
Her bank records showed she was more than 1,200 miles away, at home in Tennessee, at the same time police claimed she was in Fargo committing fraud.
Around the same time she's depositing Social Security checks, around the same time she's buying cigarettes at a gas station, around the same time she's buying pizza at one of the places, around the same time she's using Cash App to buy Uber Eats.
Well, the bank records thing almost seemed too easy to me when I saw that part of the story.
She was interviewed by police in Fargo on December 19th, where her attorney brought that information. And after a bit of follow-up and additional investigation, they agreed to drop the charges. Henson then reported Angela Lips was released from jail and then basically was on her own.
But Angela was now stranded in Fargo.
And I was just scared to death. You know, I had summer clothes on and no coat. And it was so cold outside and snow on the ground. I'm scared. I'm scared about that too. You know, I wanted out, but I didn't know what I was going to do. How I was going to get home.
Fargo police did not cover Angela's expenses to get home after her release from jail. Local defense attorneys gave Angela money to pay for a hotel room and food on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Henson went on to report that Adam Martin, the founder of F5 Project in Fargo, drove Angela to Chicago on December 26th to meet up with family in order to get home. And the rest of the report outlined how reluctant the police chief seemed to respond to the entire ordeal.
Well, that report, as we alluded to earlier, has really gotten some miles on it by now. Now, over the weekend, it was reported by The Guardian, which is overseas, right? I think it's British.
Mm-hmm.
Many other stations around the country as well have picked up on the story. I think last week I said, Danielle, this story is going to go worldwide. And sure enough, even People Magazine is sharing it too. The story did not leave out that Angela lost her home, car, and dog, nor did they neglect to mention that a lawsuit may be coming for the city of Fargo as a result of what happened.
Yes, and reporters have had questions for sure. We were offered time with the chief yesterday, and what he had to say was like, okay, so that's the reporting, but it's incomplete. And truthfully, I was waiting for that because a lot of what has been discussed in social media specifically is like, oh, AI did this and it screwed up this woman's entire life. But Chief Cebulski says it's not that simple. You can't just get accused of a crime and then end up locked up for months.
So the police are the investigative arm. We go to the call, we investigate the crime, collect evidence, conduct interviews. All of that information is then placed in an official police report, and it's sent to the state's attorney's office for review of potential criminal charges. We work hard to ensure that our investigations are objective and thorough before we send them to the state's attorney's office. But that doesn't mean that at some point the state's attorney reads it and goes, hey, there's some other follow-up I'd like you to do to help prove the case one way or the other, or outright just decline the case and determine that there's not enough here to issue a charge.
Once a case is sent to the state's attorney's office, they then send it over to a judge who reviews everything and has to agree that there is probable cause in the case, and then they issue a warrant.
So I guess depending on who you might ask, either every step was followed properly here and they just unfortunately got the wrong person, or there was a systematic failure on multiple levels that caused an innocent person's life to be upended.
There are always multiple sides to a story, yes.
Okay, well, Danielle, one of the questions I have is about the length of time this all took. Indeed, if this was a case of mistaken identity, I feel, and I think a lot of public perception around the story is that, why couldn't this get cleared up before Angela Lipps lost her home and everything in it?
It's a great question. Matt Henson laid out a pretty detailed timeline in his story, and when I went to meet with the chief, they gave me a typed out timeline of dates and all the details and everything that happened, and these timelines do match up. The fraud investigation started in April and May of last year. Angela Lipps was arrested July 14th. The authorities in Tennessee, according to Cebulski, did not notify the Cass County Jail that she was available for extradition until October 20th. And Lipps says during that time, she was never spoken to by anyone in North Dakota. But since she wasn't in North Dakota's custody yet, Cebulski said they would not be able to do that. He also said he was not sure why it took that long to get her to North Dakota. She was booked into the Cass County Jail on October 30th. Like we said before, she appeared in court the next day. And then she sat in that jail for roughly another 5 weeks before police in Fargo even knew she was here. Fargo police discovered she was there while they were conducting an interview with a different individual in custody on December 5th.
And then on the 12th, the state attorney contacted our detective to let him know that the defense attorney had produced potential exculpatory evidence, which now changes that probable cause determination. So the decision was made to coordinate an interview with Ms. Lipps and her attorney.
The interview happened December 19th. That's the one where they showed the bank records, and it was followed up with on the 22nd. And then the decision was made to dismiss the charges without prejudice on the 23rd.
And then, of course, after that, that's when she was turned out into the cold with no coat and no money.
Cebulski had something to say about that as well. He refutes that claim outright. He said a detective did offer to cover a hotel and arrange a ride home, but that Lipps declined.
We also checked with the Cass County Jail, Captain Frobig, who's the jail administrator, who advised us that they have winter clothing kits that they provide people who are released in the winter so that they are not thrown out into the elements for any reason, and further confirm that Ms. Lipps made no such request or any request prior to discharge from the Cass County Jail.
Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner has also come out in media reports this week to insist that people are not released from the jail into inclement weather without proper clothing or an opportunity to arrange a trip home.
Okay, well, that's definitely a clash of versions here for sure. There has been a lot of talk of a lawsuit being brought against the city of Fargo for all this, so whatever the truth is, there tends to come out in litigation. Now, Danielle, I'm also interested still in the length of time this all took. She got here at the end of October, but it still took 5 weeks before Fargo PD even knew she was in the Cass County Jail. And I'm sorry, you know, I think people that are listening, and when I read this, I'm recalling a similar communication snafu between the sheriff's office and Fargo PD last summer. Mm-hmm. Remember those downtown shooting incidents where some deputies responded but did not notify Fargo PD in a timely manner about their involvement in the response?
Yes, so that has been a part of the story as well. When I spoke with Chief Cebulski, he was pretty adamant that law enforcement has detailed processes in place for specific reasons. They usually work well, but sometimes the process doesn't work as well as it should. So he's insisting still that there are always opportunities for improvement.
Improvement indeed. And you said it a bit ago, she was released without prejudice. What does that mean exactly?
The bank fraud case is still open and active, and Cebulski said that so far the evidence they have doesn't prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Angela Lipps is involved, but that she still hasn't been cleared as a suspect in the investigation. So if new evidence should come to light that does point to her involvement being dismissed without prejudice, that just means she could be charged again.
Goodness. Between the lawsuit and the ongoing investigation, it would appear the story is not over by a long shot. Okay, then, we'll keep our eye on this, a sharp eye on this story, Danielle, that has traveled all over the world. So anything else going on that maybe did not go viral around the globe?
They could get your personal information, like your driver's license number, and then even steal your identity.
Well, North Dakota DOT officials say if you get a call or a text insisting that your driver's license will be suspended if you don't pay a traffic ticket, that is a scam.
Number one is, of course, the prolonged period now of several operating cycles of depressed commodity prices. But on top of that, we've had them go through record inflation, which raise their input costs, and then we've had historical storms come through.
North Dakota's Industrial Commission has extended two loan programs for farmers through the Bank of North Dakota.
They're singing I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, Aerosmith. Since You've Been Gone, Kelly Clarkson, they're doing The Loadout Stay by Jackson Brown. Wide Open Spaces, Dixie Chicks.
And the Real Life School of Rock is at Northern Cass School. This week, their junior high schoolers held their second annual rock concert. There were over 220 performers who sang with a full rock band in two sold-out shows.
And I bet you there was no Free Bird being played in that show. That was a great story, Danielle. You should check it out online at prairiepublic.org and see all the stories, listen to them too, that the newsroom has put together. A lot of good things up there right now. So, Danielle, thanks for all that.
Absolutely. And like Eric just said, news.prairiepublic.org. That'll do it for us this week here at Prairie Beat. I'm Danielle Webster.
And I'm Eric Dethridge. I get the last word this time. We'll see you on the beat next week.